Check out Dobbs April deals before you make your next tire or service purchase, including super BOGO deals on oil changes, plus great deals on new sets of tires. Bumper to bumper, your dollars go further at Dobbs. Click on gotodobbs.com for April deals now.
Meet Sumner One, your go-to source for all things office technology. We're proud to be one of the largest independently owned providers in the region with 11 strategic locations across 5 states. At Sumner One, we specialize in workplace solutions, enterprise print, production print, large format solutions, cutting-edge document technology, and more. Quality, service, and innovation. That's the Sumner One advantage. Visit us online at sumneronecom. That's SUMNER1.com. Sumner One, welcome to the one place where everything works.
Notes and nuggets. It's time for the Rutherford Report with our Blues insider Jeremy Rutherford, brought to you by Scott Lee Heating Company, a proud Mitsubishi Electric Elite contractor.
Danny Mac and Randy with you. It's the opening drive on 101 ESPN, and the Blues play their final 2 home games of the season tonight and Sunday. The Columbus Blue Jackets in town tonight, and then the Seattle Kraken on Sunday, I believe is the case, if I'm not mistaken. I'm going tonight. I don't even know who they're playing.
Hurricanes tonight.
Carolina. It starts with a C, I know. Okay.
You were just overwhelmed after the Aussie. Yeah, that was awesome.
It was great. Jeremy Rutherford is with us now. JR, sorry for the delay.
never apologize. Rocchio sent me a text that said, hey, we're running late. And I text back, it's freaking Ozzie Smith. Like, I grew up idolizing this guy.
You're not the only one. So let's get into some hockey real quickly here, JR. As you approach the final handful of games here, if you're a Blues fan, hold your hat to something, playoffs, whatever it is. But what are you watching in these final handful of games?
Yeah, just continue to watch this team try to be competitive. I know they have not been competitive on nights that we all remember. San Jose comes to mind, right, Dan? But I think that talking to Braden Schenn a couple days ago, he said, listen, until we see eliminated next to our name in the standings, we're going to keep giving it our all. And I think that a week or two ago, myself included, did we expect the Blues still to be not mathematically eliminated in game number 80-81? No, we didn't. You know, and I think it could happen tonight if the Blues don't get a win here against Carolina, one of those teams that starts with a C. But I think that the fact that they're still here, game 80, not mathematically eliminated, I think speaks to the way they've been playing down the stretch here.
And, JR, the Blues are 3 points behind Vegas, and Vegas has a game in hand. So let's just assume that Vegas wins that game in hand and the Blues are 5 points out. What 6 points do you think will stick or should stick in the Blues' craw the most that they missed out on that could have gotten them into the playoffs?
Well, I actually just filed an assignment to The Athletic, and it's not a full story. It's just a couple paragraphs that I contributed to a bigger story, but it's asking that exact question. Give me a stat this year that kind of sums up your team's season in a nutshell, and I went with 0-2-1. 0-2-1 against the San Jose Sharks this year, and you look at those three losses, one was 5-1, one was 4-0, and one was 3-2 in overtime, so outscored by a combined score of 12-3 in those three games. Also, you can't forget 2 losses to the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they did go 3-1 against the Blackhawks, but nonetheless, a loss to Chicago. So if you add up those San Jose points, the losses, and you add up the 2 Columbus games and the Chicago loss, there's 11 potential points on the board. And you're not going to win them all. It's hockey. Teams can beat teams on any given night, but that's 11 potential points, and you're talking about 3 out. You get half of those, and you're in a playoff seat right now.
And, JR, for me to answer that question, it's the 3 games before Berube got fired. It was the Vegas game here. They lost 6-3, and they seemed out of sorts. And then they lose at Columbus and Chicago, and then they lose against Detroit before they fire the coach. But to me, it was that time around Berube getting fired, and they just weren't playing for him. But, man, if you had those games back, you had those points back, they'd be in a playoff spot right now.
Yeah, that was definitely a defining moment, and especially when you learn later that Doug Armstrong had been contemplating the coaching change for a couple weeks, 3 weeks prior to his dismissal of Craig Berube. Those losses that you just mentioned were definitely the nail right there.
JR, I'm sure you've had a chance to read maybe some of the transcripts or listen or watch the interview with Joel Quenneville conducted by Andy Strickland, and much of it focused on his returning to the NHL. Just your impressions of the interview and where you think Joel may be next year if he gets clearance to come back to the NHL.
Yeah, first of all, been working on this story kind of behind the scenes, and as of yesterday, nothing has changed with Joel Quenneville's reinstatement into the league to coach again. Obviously, that just takes a decision by Gary Bettman, and things could happen quickly, you know, once that were to happen. You know, I thought it was a good interview by Andy. I think that he asked the questions that you're supposed to ask, and I think Joel gave as much information as he's probably going to give us. You know, he didn't answer all the questions, but he answered as many as he could give us. He obviously wants to coach again. There are teams out there, Dan, who are interested in him. You know, I'm curious to know if St. Louis is one of them. I believe that the Blues have had interest in the past, and depending on what decision they decide to go with Drew Bannister in terms of who's out there, is Joel Quenneville one of those options? You know, I think you could see a scenario where there could be mutual interest between the two, because Joel wants to get back, and this could be, you know, kind of a landing spot for him. So we'll see how that develops. But the bottom line is nothing's changed with his status with the league yet. But it looks like that day is going to come where they're going to make that decision one way or another on Joel Quenneville.
Yeah, and it does lead me to the future, Drew Bannister. What's your gut feeling as to whether or not the interim tag is pulled and he is the Blues head coach moving forward?
Well, the one thing, and so I don't repeat kind of the answer that I've given you the past couple months on that, because I do think he's done a great job in terms of holding players accountable. The power play has been better. I think the competitiveness at times has been a lot better. But the one thing I'll add to the conversation here, Dan, is that, you know, Doug Armstrong has had five coaches in his tenure, including Drew Bannister. Not that he's on any shaky ground, but you're going to have to get this coaching hire right. And does Doug Armstrong want to hang what could be his last coaching hire on a guy who has the lack of a resume or experience, you know, and we're going into a retool here with Drew Bannister? You know, again, I can't stress enough what a great job Drew Bannister has done with what he's been given roster-wise, but I think Doug Armstrong, not because, you know, he could potentially get let go in a year or two, but just because, you know, he's not going to be here forever. And so if he's here 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, who does he want to hang his hat on as the coaching hire that he makes on the way out the door trying to get this thing right? Is it Drew Bannister, or does he feel like he needs to go for someone with more experience? And you talk about Joel Quenneville. If that's the option, you know, obviously that's the most experience out there waiting for you.
JR, how much value do you think the Blues have gotten out of playing the likes of Bull Duke and Tyler Tucker and Dean and the young kids that have gotten the opportunity to play over the last week or so?
You know, you could minimize it, Randy, and just say, hey, it's a couple games. What's it going to do in the big picture in 2 years? Are they going to remember that these guys got an extra 6 or 7 games? You know, I can tell you this. I was standing at Zach Bolduc's locker a couple nights ago after he had the 2-point game, and he had Jordan Kyrou kind of giving him the gear, saying, hey, first 2-point game in the league. Good job, bud. And you'd see Bolduc smile. Like, this means a lot to these players who are getting this opportunity, and especially a guy like Bolduc, who comes up, he plays a lot of third-line minutes, a little bit of fourth-line, got put up in the press box as a healthy scratch 2 nights, and now he's on the top line with Robert Thomas, Braden Schenn, taking passes from those guys and finishing off goals. This is what he wants to show the Blues, that he has that kind of skill level. So maybe it's only a couple games, but he goes into the offseason with a lot of confidence, and not only that, but he comes back in training camp, and they can actually look at Zachary Bolduc as a guy who could be in that top 6, top 9 next year. I think these games mean a lot more than we think they do.
We talked about this yesterday, but there were some articles written about Binnington potentially being moved and, you know, maybe he's not the future of the Blues. I thought that's insanity. I was like, are you kidding me? How could you move this guy? Am I wrong in that assessment?
I don't think you're wrong at all. I'll say this. You know, it's going to be hard to, you know, you talk about a retool or a rebuild. It's just impossible to be in a rebuild when you have a goalie like Jordan Binnington making saves. So the other thing is this. There are a lot of goalies potentially out there available, whether it be Gibson and Anaheim, Allmark and Boston. And the other thing is we've seen a trend the past couple years where they're going to the tandems and they're not paying the guys the $6, $7, $8, $9 million to be their guy because they want to go with the tandems. So if there is a little bit of a flood on the market with 3, 4, 5 goalies available, are the Blues really going to get what fans and some media, myself included, think that you could get for a Jordan Binnington? I don't know that the return, even though we think it would be great, is going to be as good as we think it is because there's other goalies out there available and teams aren't just going to commit to one guy. So if that's the case and you're not going to get some great return that's going to help you in this retool, then I don't see a reason to move Jordan Binnington. So I know where you're coming from, Dan, in terms of he's the backbone of this team. I agree with you. I think there's other reasons you don't make that deal as well.
JR, one last thing before we let you go. Back in 1946, Clarence Campbell was named the president of the National Hockey League. He served as the league's president for 31 years. If he had been the one to suspend Joel Quenneville, would Q call him up and say, "When do I get clearance, Clarence?"
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Don't ever use that in an athletic article. Please, whatever you do, do not do that.
That's my
That's
lead
awful.
For tomorrow. I turned 49 last week. I'm all about the dad jokes. I use them every time on my daughter. I'm going to break it out. Hey, and while I got you guys, hey, can I tell you a quick Ozzie Smith story real quick?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, hey, just, you know, 1996, Dan, you know what it was like. You were Camo X. I was at the Post-Dispatch, and I get a phone call, and the editor at the Post-Dispatch said that, hey, spring training's breaking up. The Cardinals are going to go to, I think it was Memphis, and play a game on their way to Shea to open the season in New York. I believe that's where what the circumstances were. And they said, instead of having Rick Hummel come all the way back to the Midwest, we're just going to have him shoot up to the East Coast and get ready for that opener at Shea. And I went to the last exhibition game. They played it right after spring training. And that was the game where I think Ozzie tweaked something. And so I'm thinking, Dan, you know, this is a great situation. I'm going to go cover a Cardinal game for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. No pressure whatsoever, right? Well, no pressure except for Ozzie gets hurt, and now he might not be ready to start the season. And so I was in the cramped locker room wherever this game was played, trying to go up to Ozzie and ask him, how are you feeling? How are things? And then Tony's telling us he's fine, so on and so forth. And I'll just never forget going back to that laptop, and my fingers are shaking as I'm writing about Ozzie Smith.
What a great memory.
He is the best, man. Having been around him for many, many years, Randy as well can attest to this. Truly is. He's the best.
Yep, he's a Hall of Famer in baseball and in life, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Yep. JR, thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You guys too. See you at the game tonight, Randy.
You bet. Take care. That is Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic on 101 ESPN.